I've learned the ways of the jungle, Jasmina. Conquered its dangers. I'm a new man.
Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls want to go fly a kite up to the highest height.
I didn't know what that was from.
Do you know, what it's from now, right?
No, I have no idea what that's from.
Oh my goodness. First off, I am Hashtag, and I am joined by Alona. Hello, Alona.
Hello.
Alona, Mary Poppins. Oh,
it's been so long since I've seen it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I got a WTF from Festy. Well, not the remake, obviously.
No, the original. The original. But, you know, that's what the labyrinth cliffs and all the kites make me think about. So I am in shock that you are not up to date on your Mary Poppins.
Maybe I'll watch it this weekend.
Oh my goodness. Before we get started, a reminder that you can get in touch with us with questions, comments, or just for funsies by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. First up is our Chivos, where we go over what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
I don't know if we have time for me to talk about what I did in game. It's just so much, Hashtag.
So much.
I did world boss events right up to the end. I didn't go super crazy with them, whenever I was in game, I did go through and do them. I forgot to write down here, but I got quite a few of more of the Shatterer achievements done. And there was one other one that I got a few more achievements on. So that was
worthwhile.
Great. Yeah, it was great. And so I was trying to do, you know, just regular type dailies with about an hour left one day. And the jumping puzzle that day was Scavenger's Chasm. And so I says to myself, why not? You know, let's just do this for funsies. There's an hour left. And this was a bad call, Hashtag. It was a very bad call. An hour later,
oh my gosh,
I had one orb that remained elusive, could not find it. And I kept falling and mounting to get higher and then falling back down in the water and looking at the water. I even used Taco. But that place is such a maze. You're like, well, I could see that over there, but is that one I've already got? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So reset hit without me finishing the stupid jumping puzzle. Oh, and I may have been a little angry.
Was there not people there portaling?
Yes, but you have to collect 12 orbs.
So there weren't people portaling to the different orbs?
No.
Yeah, I guess it really does take a concerted effort to get everybody all together and do that.
And it was getting close to the end too, but I was disappointed. I was like,
that's too bad. Festy,
I could have done one of the other things.
Festy is sharing in chat that the last time she did it, there was a mesmer sent from heaven that led her everywhere through it.
I normally don't. This one is so tricky because it is so time consuming because you have to get all the orbs and then put them all in.
It is. And it's one of those ones that's, like you were saying, is it can be insanely frustrating because it would be very hard to remember what you did already. It's not like a clear path one way.
Scavenger's Chasm. Angry. Don't want to do it again anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I had the very exciting task of cleaning out all the bags on my toons. That was very exciting. That took a fair bit of time.
I did the same thing.
I had my unidentified gear, I had the blue and the greens. I had full stacks of those and they were wrapping around. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to search. So Alona had 23 spots open on her, in her bags total. So I'm doing them in stacks of 20 at a time. So that took a long time. And finally, I did a wee smidge of Festival of the Four Winds, but that was yesterday. So I'll probably hope to get on maybe after this if I'm still awake. And that's it. That's all I did. And I hope you did more than I did, Hashtag.
just a little bit. So I finally gave in after much, much peer pressure, and I bought the World Boss Portal device 30 minutes before the event finished. I was
very proud of you, though.
And I used it once.
Just once.
And I must admit, it is fabulous. I didn't know that you had all the options that it contained. Like, it, you know, it can take you to the three most current events, and it is rather nice.
And I know you bought it with in-game gold. Like, you converted gold to gems, right?
I treated myself to it because I decided to sell heavy, well, I bought heavy crafting bags with laurels because I have a ton of laurels. And then I sold those mats and I bought myself a portal device.
But so, you can see what I'm saying. Like, it's very reasonably priced for the convenience that it offers.
Very much. Yeah. I think, you know, I wanted to get it with the discount. So
Fessy's saying that it'll show you stuff even if you aren't thinking of doing any of the bosses. And so you're like, oh, you know, it's given me the announcement that this is hopping up. This event is popping. I'm like, I got nothing else going on. Go over and do it.
Go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for more opportunities in the future to use it. I'm hoping that this event pops up again, particularly in, you know, kind of slow time between different festivals or releases. So I'm ready never. Now. Oh, man. Yeah, because now it's all festivals all the time. And, what did I use that device to do? One last swipe at Tequaddle before the event officially finished. Mm-hmm. So I have not done Tequaddle in probably over a year.
What?
Yeah, it's been a while. And I was pleasantly surprised by the amount of people who had no idea what they were doing. And I mean that in the best way possible. That makes me happy because, yay.
They're just doing it and having fun.
Yeah, well, I mean more like, yay that there's fresh blood in the game, you know?
Yeah.
Yay that it's not just, you know, old fogies who are, you know, there were a lot of questions in chat, particularly when people were throwing around acronyms. So the old fogies would say things like, need more help at SB. And then you'd hear, you know, people in chat saying, what's SB? What does that stand for? So it's happy that people were asking questions. Aww. That's South Boats, by the way. Wanted to know. What? Oh, boy.
I played with people who just yelled at me and directed me places verbally. So I did not ever have to read chat.
Oh, my goodness. So it was a lot of fun, but I didn't get any good drops. So,
well.
And a couple of days ago, I ran Path 1 of Ascalonian Catacombs when it was the daily. And this was another example of fresh blood trying out old content. And it's kind of funny because I am definitely not what I would call dungeon experienced. but
you're dungeon curious.
Yeah. But I, you know, there's a certain amount of muscle memory that seems to kick in. And so about half the party was experienced and would auto stack in, you know, the various stacking places. And then the other half was kind of wandering around, you know, aggroing everything and doing things the hard way. But we got it done and it was kind of fun. And with a bunch of new people, you really can't take for granted getting through the Graveling Burrow Room in one try. That's where all the burrows are popping up across the room and you're trying to keep what's his name alive while you're taking down those burrows. And I have done it with experienced people who muck it up. So I was happy that we got through it and it was fun.
I have to say the last time I did AC was with, and there were two people. Did we foreman it? I can't remember now. We talked about it on an earlier show.
We did it together. I think it was us.
Were you there? And it was two people that had never done dungeons before? That was so much fun.
It's so much more fun. It really is. I don't know what it is about it, but it just, I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, when these dungeons were built, they weren't built for let's stack around the corner and
yeah.
You know, they were built to for you to aggro things and
and avoid the troll.
Be more challenging. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Let's see. On that same day, I went to the Desolation for a bounty daily where the map had been royally trolled by someone or someone's taking all the bounties off of the walls.
How does
that
work?
I don't know. I think because you can grab a bounty.
Yeah.
And if all the bounties are grabbed, then there's no bounty to be found for anybody else if they're not actively fighting that bounty. So they're just kind of hoarding the bounty. So Fessy's saying you can only grab one at a time. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was actually a group, Festy, that was involved in this trollification.
Troll fest.
So they had coordinated their bounty group. Anyway, so the rest of us are kind of standing around saying, what do we do? I don't know. What are we going to do? So we waited until they reset, and I grabbed the first one, which was Zad Hontar, who I have not fought in probably 2 years.
Oh.
And so ran after him, and we duked it out. It was a battle, but with some last-minute assists, managed to beat him with a few seconds left on the clock. Felt really good.
Yep.
Yeah. I started festivaling yesterday, and Festival of the Four Winds is pretty unfamiliar to me, and I've talked about this before, but I got a bunch of achievements just kind of wandering around doing stuffs. I tried to get the dailies done before reset yesterday, but I didn't know what I was doing or how to do everything.
Well, and
I couldn't really be bothered to look it up.
And they also changed things a little bit from the previous year too. So
yeah, not that I would. Yeah. Oh, you're right. So if I were to go look it up, I might not necessarily find. Thank you for making me feel better, Alona. Yeah. I actually find that, I mean, of course, I've only been in there a couple times this year so far, yesterday and today, but the verticalization, which isn't a word.
Verticality?
The verticality, I don't know, it kind of gives me like vertigo a little bit. Like that, I don't know if it's because there's just so many people in there and there's all of the, like you're flying up and down on your griffin, yeah. And there's all these things flashing across your screen because you're going, you know, through different pavilions and what. There's just a lot going on the screen, and it is a little tiring to my eyes. And I don't know. I mean, maybe once I get more familiar with it, I'll feel better about it. But later on in the evening, yesterday, we had a full house with guildies, and it was super fun to be on, and we did some of the festival achievements together. And so Zero Blaze, Alona, and I ran around some of the maps, and we did stuffs with emotional support from Panther, who was in chat with us,
because Panther has got his one true love back, which is the City of Hero private servers. So he's all in on that one. But when you were talking about the verticality, it was more than once where I was trying to do things, but I was on a mount that did not fly, and I would fall off the edge. And I always forget to use the 8 skill to like launch off. They're long falls. I have a lot of time to react, but I'm like, oh God, I'm falling. I'm going to die the entire way down.
Oh my gosh.
And then my mount disappears because I've killed it in the fall.
I've had trouble with my sky scale, and I know this is first world problems because not everybody has a sky scale, but
I do not.
You do not. But there are a couple of those crystal things that are hard to get, and I have tried that you can collect around the map, and I have tried using my sky scale to raise to the proper location, and then I kind of try to veer in towards the cliff and then dismount from my sky sail so I can get to the perfect little position and then get the crystal. But I'm having problems dismounting from my sky scale. He just holds on to me, and I can't figure out how to dismount in the air, because it will
use your 8 skill.
If you're up against a cliff, it latches onto the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
and I can't just dismount. I don't know. What is, isn't the eight the...
Launch you off.
Yeah. Did we talk? We talked about this last night. It's like, yes, every 30 seconds you can, you too can dismount from your sky scale. Only need to wait 30 seconds and then you can dismount again and you will be launched forward.
Yeah, but if
so,
what would happen if you use that when you're already like precariously perched up against some...
I don't know. I'll have to try it. But I think I just need... I'm still not 100% on board with Skyscale. I mean, it's got its niche uses, but I still... Like, Griffin is still my...
It's your jam?
My jam, yes.
Oh, and remember there was the one time where I did, between Springer and everything, got up pretty high up, and I found a roof tile that was low res.
Yes.
I'm like, they don't expect us to be up here.
Yes. Easter egg. Yeah. And that's it for me.
Yeah. And now it's time for Posts of Ascalon, where we recap the news for Guild Wars 2, which we've kind of already started doing in what we did in game. So the news came out, or the patch came out this past Tuesday, July 30th, and it includes Festival of the Four Winds on behalf of Queen Jenna of Kryta and the Captain's Council of Lion's Arch. You are cordially invited to participate in the return of the Festival of the Four Winds. High atop the labyrinthine cliffs, our Zephyrite friends have been working in tandem with Lion's Arch to host an incredible variety of fun vendors and events to entertain visitors from all across Tyria. This celebration of unity and peace between our cultures is more important than ever before, and we hope that you will join us in the festivities. In this spirit of cooperation, Queen Jenna has personally overseen the reopening of the Crown Pavilion, featuring a variety of challenges for Tyria's finest to test their mettle. Transportation to the festivities couldn't be easier. Special hot air balloons are now stationed in each nation's capital city. Oh, I actually didn't notice that part before.
Mm-hmm.
Visitors can also sail directly from the ship from Lion's Arch. We look forward to seeing you at the festival, Captain Ellen Keel.
Yeah, I actually didn't know how to get there.
Well, I
yesterday
I knew it was
and
Lion's
I went
Arch.
I went to Lion's Arch thinking probably it will be here, and then I saw the balloon icon on the map.
Yeah, and I remembered that from previous years, so I just went straight there.
Mm-hmm.
The Zephyrite Bazaar has returned to the Labyrinthine Cliffs. Visitors to the Labyrinthine Cliffs can try their hand at many festival activities, including adventures, races, and scavenger hunts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a laundry list. There's a grocery list of items here. You can show your skill with the Zephyrite Crystals in the Flying Doliac race.
Wait, what is that?
It's a race with Doliacs?
Flying Doliacs?
I missed it entirely last year. I did a single Doliac race. No, it didn't have it last year, did it?
I don't remember. Well, I don't know. I don't remember flying Doliacs. Got to see this.
I know they had done them previous years. Enjoy the sights of the sea and the bay-spanning skimmer slalom race. It's actually one of my favorite races in the entire game.
Yeah. I did that.
Team up with your friends to plunder lost treasure in the treasure hunt meta event. Oh, yeah, it was Zero saying the Doliac race was in last year. Scramble to set a high score in the Crystal Collection Adventure. Is that the one you were talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Demonstration? Demonstrate your aviation ability in two Griffin adventures.
I tried one, and I said, nope, and that's it.
And compete to take the lead in the Sanctum Sprint activity, one of my favorite activities that has ever been put in this game.
Yes.
Challenge the competition with unique Zephyrite skills in the Returning Aspect Arena. I have not been in. I don't think
know what that is.
At all. Leap across the labyrinthine cliffs to recover Zephyrite crystals and discover the fate of the bazaar's fallen star, Cuckoochoo, the Incredulous. Aww. And Finally, trade materials with the Zephyrites for a new Zephyrite supply box containing a wide variety of possible items, including exceptionally rare skins and equipment from distant lands. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
So much goodness.
Yeah. For combat-inclined festival goers, the Crown Pavilion has reopened in Divinity's Reach. Challenge recreations of humanity's greatest foes, legendary champions, and notorious figures. The renowned Boss Blitz returns. Organize your companions to challenge 6 legendary foes. They'll gain strength as the other bosses fail, so plan your battle carefully. People were not planning carefully yesterday when we were doing this.
No.
It was just a mosh pit of fighting from one boss. Like, we don't care if the last one has everything. Like, we're doing this.
I didn't quite understand how that worked. So it was, now I know.
There is no planning.
Yeah.
Adventurers yearning to show their skills at a solo challenge, rejoice. The Queen's Gauntlet has been reopened, and you are now taking your turn politely this year, right?
Yes. Thank you for reminding everyone, Alona, that last year I had no clue how to do this. And so I was just jumping onto other people's platforms and, you know, making myself everybody's best friend. So I have learned the errors of my way, and now I know what I'm doing.
Making myself everybody's best friend. I don't know why that is so funny. I imagine someone just like, what's happening here? Between blitzes, blow off some steam, and the most hazardous festival race since Halloween, the infamous pavilion pursuit. Okay, so we did this race, and you guys were all done. I wasn't even halfway through.
I kept getting dismounted.
I missed some of the thing, one thing, and I'm like, and I thought, why aren't they triggering? And so I had to backtrack halfway through to find the one that I missed. And you're like, oh, everyone, do we have to wait here for 8 minutes? I'm like, I don't, because I'm still racing. Right. And moving on, new updates and prizes this year include annual achievements have been added to the Festival of the Four Winds. Complete the annual Four Winds Customs meta achievement to earn a splendid new backpack. I have not actually looked to see what it looks like yet.
Yeah.
We probably both should have looked, maybe before the show. The Flying Dolyak, Skimmer Slalom, and Pavilion Pursuit races have been overhauled with associated adventures and more responsive checkpoints. They are not more responsible. Backtrack. Race for the fastest time and earn bonus daily rewards. I will not race for the fast. I just race to get it done. Bosses in the Boss Blitz group event have been rebalanced. Their maximum health amounts have been reduced, and they now have unique defiance bars that give boons to players fighting the other bosses when their defiance bars are broken. Love that. Love that.
I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah. That's the way it always should be.
I like the cooperative nature of that. 5 new weapons have been added to the Zephyrite weapon set. Once again, did not look at them, have no idea. 11 new weapons have been added to the Divine Sovereign weapon set. This is just like a lot of weapon skins.
I looked at these. They're okay.
Yes. Oh, cool.
I mean, I wasn't like blown away, but they're different.
New guild hall decorations based on the Zephyrite style can now be crafted for your guild hall, and because we have guild hall decorator extraordinaire zero in our guild, he was like, have you been to the guild hall yet? And I'm like, no, I just logged in again, but I'll go. And they're great. We have, there's a ginormous boat, which is very cool. There's the koi, which are amazing.
And a canoe.
And a canoe and a hanging basket. Not basket, but like planter thing? Water vessel. There we go.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Markers have been added to mount rental vendors to make them easier to find. Whistles are now included in your mount rental, making it easier to resummon them after dismounting. Huzzah. Okay, so even not that this matters in places like where you can not rent, but like in Dragonfall,
mm-hmm.
where you can try go on Skyscale. I'm terrified to dismount from my Skyscale.
I don't really understand this now. So if you dismount, you can just get right back on?
Not for the rentals. So if you wanted to do the mount race
right.
or something and you rent a mount.
That makes sense because,
yeah.
you know, you get dismounted and it's not fun.
Yeah. A new weekly vendor has been added, trading limited supplies of rare goods for festival tokens. Mm. And which I think is very similar to the one vendor that was available for Dragon Bash.
Oh, right.
Where
right.
you can get, I think the trading supplies are the map currencies and stuff, I think. And numerous bugs and glitches have been fixed to ensure a safer and more pleasant festival for all participants. Okay.
That's a good thing.
Also, everyone needs to know about this that happened. Hashtag is in, she needs to finish the daily. So she is just killing some bandits. And she's having a hard time because she's going after the ones that have lots of, like, they're firing guns at her. So I'm like, oh my God, she needs help. And I have a couple things with Reflect. So I'm helping her. And she's died, but she revives and comes back, and I'm just trying to stay alive. And so I then die, and so she's reviving me, and then she starts fighting them again. And then I just use Revive Orb to finish, and I'm fighting, and all of a sudden I'm like, and then she goes, oh, this is what this how you get up here for the solo challenges. She left me fighting by myself. All and she just left. It was like, what happened? I came here to help you. Aww. And you just wandered off. Oh, I don't need to do this now.
I did not. I feel bad. I did not realize that you had used a revive orb.
I have lots. That's beside the point. The real story here is you just laughed.
It's true. It is sad, but true.
It was like someone killed Squirrel and away you had gone. It was a dose of my own medicine. Anyway, back to the patch notes. Complete festival daily achievements to earn the Four Winds Zephyr daily achievement, contributing to the Four Winds Gale achievement that rewards your choice of weapons based on Zephyrite crafts. But don't help your friend complete them because they will abandon you. Earn festival tokens and favors of the festival throughout the festival events to trade for exciting prizes, including Zephyrite backpacks, the illustrious Sovereign weapon set, and items based on the latest wonder of the Crown Pavilion, the Watch Knight MK2. Zephyrite kite baskets have been scattered across Tyria. Open them to claim prizes from the Zephyrite stockpiles. Oh, I haven't done that yet. And finally, the Festival of the Four Winds will be available for 3 weeks from July 30th until August 20th. Enjoy the festivities. I should make a note, August 20th, because I always forget and then go back into our show notes to find out.
I do have to say, there are a lot of achievements and rewards. I mean, going through this.
I haven't actually looked to see what they are
yet. It just doesn't feel like, I don't know. I mean, like there's a lot of different things that you can go for. There's weapons and, you know, backpacks and rewards and mounts and all sorts of cool stuff. So not mounts. I don't know why I said that. Now I'm starting a rumor.
You are.
It's the watchwork mount. You can mount on your watchwork camel.
I'm just gonna let you continue because I don't know where this is gonna go.
I'm imagining this kind of steampunk watchwork-esque camel
that would look really cool
that you could mount, and I can picture the animation, like you're kind of like glump 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 glumping along, and then these like long skinny legs are just like, like very mechanically.
What would that Would that be the jackal?
Because
the teleportation would kind of still work, right?
No, I mean, I feel like the camel's specialty has got to be some sort of healing property because, you know, it's got its, like, it doesn't need to eat for a long time. So it's really hardy. And
okay.
I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm predicting now the next mount is going to be a mechanical camel.
Watchwork camel.
But it might be a skin. It might be an actual mount. I don't know. And it's going to have a blanket draped across its hump for you to sit on. And the blanket is going to be plaid.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to the important stuff. World Polish fixed a bug that could prevent the Choya Pinata from dropping Crystal Oasis Heroes Choice chests. Boo hiss. Oh. I mean, that's the whole reason you do it. You want those Heroes Choice chests. And under the general category, Grandmaster Craftsman Hobbs and Lions Arch has some new information about unlocking legendary runes and sigils. And Grandmaster Crafters and Lions Arch are working to unlock legendary runes and sigils by offering satchels of loot to citizens who donate repeatedly to the cause.
It actually just occurs to me that the news about those.
Yeah, we left out.
Coming in. Yeah, so you can make legendary runes and sigils now.
From what I understand, they, like, the power is exactly the same. It's just the convenience, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and they won't have an effect. And I don't know, like, the interface for choosing, like, I don't know. I haven't looked into it a huge amount, but it didn't look like there was a search bar. Mm-hmm.
It's a little confusing.
Or a way, and the scroll, you could see the scroll bar, how tiny it was. So you know that there's a lot to scroll through, but I haven't played with it yet to maybe the more, I don't know. It looks a little unwieldy.
It does.
But I've not experienced trying it yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really feel need for it personally yet. I could see how some people rating people would definitely appreciate this and therefore would be willing to put up with, you know, the intricacies of learning how it works.
Yeah.
But at this point, I may check it out, but I'm not feeling like must do.
And I actually haven't looked at to see what it would actually involve to make them, like what the process would be to see whether it would be worthwhile for me or not. Like, does it still take Mystic Clovers? And there might be an answer to this, and I am just showing my complete ignorance on this. But, like, if I want to make legendary weapons or legendary armor, does it take things that I'd rather use for that?
I don't think so. I'm intrigued by this donation thing. Offering satchels of loot to citizens who donate repeatedly to the cause.
Oh, right.
I'm not really sure. It almost makes me think that you are turning in a bunch of runes and sigils, and which actually would be good for, you know, the market.
Getting some of the things out of
yes. Yeah.
Would you're like, I want to sell this. Oh, there's a million of them. Yeah,
exactly. Moving on to the profession skills, we're just going to talk about the ones that were interesting to us because we are the ones who are podcasting. So. Oh my God. We found the most interesting new addition was these changes to the Guardian Mesmer and Necromancer that allow a skill to have a different effect based on whether the caster is an enemy or an ally. So for the Guardian, it's the Wall of Reflection. For the Mesmer, it's a portal. And for the Necromancer, it's the shade looks different. I find this really interesting, particularly for the Mesmer portal, I'm trying to, like, in dub-v-dub, now if you see a portal, you know it's an enemy portal or you know it's a friendly portal. That's interesting. Yeah.
For Guardian, it's Wall of Reflection and Purging Flames.
Oh, right.
And then Mesmer, it's Time Warp and Portal.
Oh, you're right.
Necromancer, it's Shades plus Plague Lands.
I can't read the stuff.
You have secondary bullet blindness. I can only see the first bullet. That's it. There's just nothing else.
Yes. So multiple skills for these three professions. Thank you. That
I haven't seen this mm-hmm. yet, so I'm very curious. Like, will they just be red?
I don't know. We should try it out. We should see if we are enemies in WW.
We should PvP. Totally do that because I would like to experience it. It'll be fun. I bet I know where we could try it. I wonder if it would work in the arena. For a Black Lion Trading Company gem store, new items and promotions, the new Gallant Lightbearer Raptor skin is now available in the style category for 2,000 gems. And we were trying to figure out what animal this was. Because it's almost fox-like, but not really fox-like. And it has so a lot of really nice detail. It is adorable. It has four ears, so we were wondering if it was related to Char at all.
It's so cute. And ArenaNet described it as fluffy.
If I didn't already have the resplendent raptor skin, I would I would possibly consider it.
So the text says, do you love riding your raptor, but find yourself wishing it was a bit fluffier? This adorable skin gives your mount a sleek and, more importantly, cute new look. Oh, it is so good. And the dye channels are really good.
It's got a cute snout and eyes. The new Zephyrite Paraglider is available for 400 gems. And it doesn't look like it would be able to keep anybody afloat. It's very tiny, but it is colorful.
It's a death trap. I mean, you're
it's a death trap.
you're hanging on by one hand to this flimsy kite that is paraglider that is like tied together in the corners. There's got to be some magic going on.
Well, it is a magical land, and also not real. In the preview pane, I was holding on with both hands.
Oh, so this must just be a pose.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe can you emote while doing it?
I wonder though. You know how some of the gliders, the different races have different, like they ride it differently a little bit.
Yeah. Well, this is human.
Yeah, that's true.
So that would be the same as a loner. Also, for a limited time, the Storm Gloves and Zephyrite Aspect Helm Pack return to the gem store for 500 gems each.
That's a lot of gems.
The Helm Pack is, you get three of them, or four. Hmm. I want to say four.
Okay. The Black Lion chest has been updated to the Zephyr Sanctum chest and can be previewed for a full list of its contents. The Nashblade Zephyrite supply box has been updated and is returning as the guaranteed item. The new Gallant Lightbearer Raptor skin is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of the chest. And the new Starborn outfit is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of this chest. This is quite the outfit. The
mount is available?
Yes. Huh. The mount, but I have heard horror stories of people dropping or buying a lot of boxes. I saw in chat somebody had bought like 100 boxes and no raptor skin, and they were not happy. Wow. So
I'm surprised it's only uncommon in the first place. Yeah. I would have thought it'd be rare.
I don't know. Well, also, apparently it is rare because
this Starborn outfit.
Oh, yes.
It is quite the outfit.
It is a thing. It's kind of this night-esque, galaxy-esque looking skin that covers full body. And then there are strategically placed armor pieces around your nether regions. And
shoulders.
And, you know, gotta be modest. The shoulders are...
Those risque shoulders.
Oh, man. I don't know. I kind of want to see what they look like from the back.
Also... So it almost reminds me, not a lot, but just a little bit. There's the armor set, and I've for some reason drawing a blank on the name on the armor set now.
The blue one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't dye the blue.
Yep.
I am guessing that you can dye this to be any color you want.
So it's kind of like the mount, because it's similar to that mount skin that has that like purpley galaxy kind of look.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Because I like the armor set that does this. Like it was probably one of the kind of really flashy armor sets that came in because of that effect. Mm-hmm. and I liked it. But at the same time, if you didn't want to be blue, tough noogies.
Yeah.
You're gonna be blue. You're a sparkly Smurf. This is all you get to do. So I think there's really, but it's interesting that it's only, I wonder if they'll drop it as something you can buy in the gem store like halfway through.
And I kind of want to know what happens if you take the helm off. Like, do you have your normal head on top of this purple body? How does that work?
Or whatever body you choose.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. So moving on, the soaring weapon set and the fused weapon set are available as uncommon and rare drops, respectively, for the duration of this chest. And unused versions of the Glyph of Flight and the Glyph of Industry are available as rare drops for the duration of this chest. I don't actually know what the Glyph of Flight is. Do you know what the Glyph of Flight does? I see you're Googling it.
Copy paste. It increases movement speed by 100% for 5 seconds after gathering completes.
I see. That makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is, for me, one of the biggest pieces of news that came out of the patch notes. The self-style hair kit and the total makeover kit are no longer available as drops in the Black Lion Chest Arena Net. What are you doing? Boo hiss. This is how I have collected all of my self-style hair kits and total makeover kits. And I don't buy keys. This has been completely from either donated boxes or key farming. And that's how I've got these makeover kits. I've never bought one from the gem store. And I feel like,
well, you're the problem. Apparently.
I know.
Also, I'm also with you on this. I have a stockpile. I do buy keys. So I have a fair number of these. Mm-hmm. But I'm bummed about this.
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on here.
Probably no one was buying them.
Well, you know what, ArenaNet? Let's have a little one-on-one here. Part of the reason that your sales might be down in the self-style hair kit is that you have not released new hairstyles in quite some time, particularly for the Asura female. I'm looking at you, ArenaNet. I would be interested in, possibly dropping some gems if I could get some new hairstyles. It's been, I don't know, 4 years.
It hasn't been that.
Yes, it has. It has.
It has.
It
not.
Has. It has totally been no. that long. Yes. What was it the last? The last new hairstyles were those, like the ones that came in.
There was ones after the timey one came in.
I thought that set was the last one.
I thought there was one more after that.
Maybe. But still, that was 3 years. It's been at least 3 years. So I don't feel like it's fair to blame box hoggers and instead.
Box hoggers.
I mean, if you want us to buy hair kits, and this is, you know, a major part of their business, Fashion Wars.
You don't think that this maybe has something to do with maybe there's going to be an announcement at the end of August and this is going to parlay into this in some fashion?
So what you're telling me is the announcement is going to be hair-centric.
No, I'm not.
They are releasing 20 new hairstyles and there's going to be a run on.
And they want people to buy them.
They want people to buy them.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. That's my prediction. All right.
Or they make this something that you can do without having to need kits. A quality of life update coming down the pipe where you don't even need kits.
You could just change
your
hair.
Do it.
Yeah. Whoa.
Just throw
maybe
that
it's like
out
a
there.
Like a
no
wardrobe
idea.
Change kind of thing. Like wigs. Oh. Yeah. All right. The items available in exchange for Black Lion statuettes have been updated. Black Lion statuettes are redeemable by using the statuette itself or at any of the Black Lion chest merchants located in every major city. Sorry, minor cities, you're out of luck. It's only in the major cities.
There are no minor cities.
A new collection of hats has been made available for redemption. The exclusive Storm Dagger, Exalted Shoulders, and Exalted Gloves have been added, and additional item updates Ooh. Include the Mini Blue Skimmer Pup, Magitek Medium Armor Skin, Phoenix Light Armor. Armor skin.
I might have to go through my statuettes.
Yeah, I'm feeling very statuesque. Bram's heavy armor skin and the Reaper Tron, Logger Tron, and Miner Tron gathering tools. Ooh, this is
a good update.
Very good update.
You got to the self style hair kit and total makeover kit being removed from the chests and just stopped reading. I think the patch notes. You were like, it's dead to me.
You're not wrong. This looks good.
Yeah. Now we're going on to the other bit of news that I think surprised everyone. ArenaNet had a news post and also sent out an email that said, join us for a special live event, on August 30th. It's almost time for you to set out on your next adventure. Are you ready to catch the very first look at an all-new chapter in Guild Wars 2's Living World story?
I am ready.
I am also ready, hashtag. Join us at the Moore Theater in Seattle, Washington on Friday, August 30th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, and be part of the excitement live. If you can't attend in person, like me, we'll live stream the announcement with a developer presentation and more on our official Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook channels. This event will run for approximately 45 minutes, so you can kick off your PAX West weekend with all your Guild Wars 2 friends. Attendance is first come, first served, with no entry fee or ticket required. Grab your seat early. The first 500 attendees will get a Guild Wars 2 swag bag with fun surprises inside. We'll see you there.
I want to be there.
Yeah. It would be pretty great to go. This has sent me into a tailspin of... Tinfoil hats. It is interesting because if you get the Guild Wars 2 newsletter, like if they email you... It had a little bit additional information sort of in the fact that there's a image in at the top of the email. And I did watch the WP video where he talked about this as well. And he was saying that, you know, it looks snowy. But when I saw it, I actually think it looks like frothy, stormy water. Like this looks like a gale or a tempest. And there's like things coming down from the top that look like torn fabric. And
I like how I love it. And I love how, first off, I love the colors in the new logo. And it's like a blue, red, purple kind of blending thing. And I love how like the image of a dragon has almost been transformed into the image of water with those colors of like Krakatoric and Primordius and like the fire and ice kind of blending together thing that's happening there. Lots of interesting speculations to be had.
And I never saw fire and ice when I saw this at all. I saw a more tropical bird.
Oh.
Like I got like a very tropics sort of view out of this when I saw that logo.
Interesting.
And you know, going with that stormy water and interesting. So I right clicked and downloaded the image. This is where it gets tinfoily.
Here we go.
And Guild Wars 2 usually names their images, and sometimes it's just a series of numbers, especially if they don't want to give too much away, or it'll say new map, you know, where they don't want to give the name of the map away. This one is just unnamed.jpg. And what dragon is not named? The water dragon. This looks like frothy, stormy water. And so I think it's bubbles next. I think it's bubbles.
I honor your tinfoil hatting. I actually would be more intrigued if season 4 or 5 departed from the dragon story. And I don't know where I was reading this, but I may have been on Reddit, but I really agreed with this kind of take that all, you know, when we have just these huge world ending events constantly, it can be a little, the storytelling can get a little boring because it's like massive world event, you avoided destruction, massive world event, you avoided destruction. And you miss out on some of the like day to day, really interesting stories that could be happening, you know, psychological stories or other little, I don't know. I feel like there could be very, very momentous, interesting, intriguing, subtle stories that could be happening. And I know that, you know, the dragon storyline obviously is very important to Guild Wars 2 and interesting. I don't know. There's just one of the really great things about Guild Wars 2 is the amount of divergent storylines that are present in the lore and, you know, all the different characters that you meet through Living Story. And sometimes I just wish we had more time to go down those rabbit trails. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to pick and choose from.
And the one final thing I was going to say about this announcement, obviously we'll find out more at the end of August, but and you tweeted this out because we were texting about it when it came out, that I kind of, unless because it clearly states what's coming up for Living World Story, unless that is a complete bait and switch and they do stealth announce an expansion. But if they don't, and it really is the Living World Story, and they're following through with the they want to produce content and drop content that is expansion worthy within the Living World, which they've never actually wholesale said we're not doing expansions anymore, or that we don't, correct? I'm not making that up.
They've hinted. And they did say that season 5 would follow directly after season 4.
Yeah. So I feel like they didn't want to do expansions in the first place and felt kind of pushed into it because the industry, I don't think as a whole, any of the players were ready or the industry was ready to push out big expansion like content outside of an expansion. But I feel like how things have been going, and they've done a couple expansions, and we talked about this in the pretty much at length in the predictions episode, that I think that this is, and this further kind of points to that, this is what they're doing. Look, we can make the splash. We don't need an expansion. We can make a big splash with Living World and release the content and the types of things that would come with an expansion.
I actually without don't doing know. It. I'm starting to wonder, this is something that I've been thinking about actually today. Earlier, I was thinking about this with all the layoffs that have, you know, happened at ArenaNet and their change in marketing styles and kind of just a lot of not uproar, but just a different, there's a different sense, like something's in the water. And I wonder if
really hashtag in the water.
I just wonder if, oh gosh, Alona. I just wonder if the old crew really did want to go more with the Living World and wanted to honor that. But I wonder if they are feeling pressure in the opposite direction, that they should pull out expansions because that's an industry known thing. But I'm wondering if like we had this understanding that we weren't getting more, we were going to veer back into like the way things were at launch, you know, with Living World being more of the, you know, the content driver. But now with the shakeups, maybe they're wanting to go back to something that's a little splashier and more tried and true. And it, you know, last night when we were talking with Guildies about it, I think it might have been you, Alona, that brought up that the last time we had an event like this was right before Heart of Thorns. And that makes me think, again, they want a little bit more of the hype train. To be fair, as far as like the press, industry press, what's going to be more exciting, you know, like DLC or a brand new expansion?
I think it's all how you market it, though, is what, like if they can say, here's what's going to be coming out with this next year with Living World Story. And they can build the hype. And like I said last night, in many ways, and all this being said, I could be completely wrong, but if you think about it this way, here's the features you are going to release with an expansion. You have to have all those ready for a certain time frame. Whereas if you have, here's what we're going right. to put out within this next year, this one comes with this thing, next one comes with that thing, and you don't end up destroying your staff with,
yeah, with the crunch, like, yeah,
massive deadlines and crunch time. And if you can market it, if you can make that flash where it makes the news outlets, the gaming news outlets take mm-hmm. notice, or game people who play games take notice, or players who maybe haven't played in a while take notice. That's really,
yeah, I would be
matters.
A fan of that. I would be really happy if that was the outcome here, if they've found a unique way to market this so that they can do what they want to do and make it really exciting and make it, I mean, maybe that is what they're doing. Maybe they're marketing it as like, hey, look at us. We really are the MMO that's doing things differently.
Yes. Yeah. And like TT is saying, an expansion would bring new players and existing for a while. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid. I think you always get that big influx and then a drop, uh-huh. an influx and a drop. And it's that the slow and steady, like let's make something that people want to
keep playing.
Not, right. Yeah. Keep playing, but not necessarily marathon and get over with. Like in an expansion, people finish the story in a week. And this would draw out that where it wouldn't.
Yeah. Happen. I mean, it does really get back to the heart of Guild Wars 2 and, you know, the original content where, you know, every 2 weeks or so you'd have something that's moving the story along and it felt exciting,
which also killed
staff and it was impossible to maintain. But yeah. There is something about that you can do when you have an MMO and you have an audience that wants to mm-hmm. keep trying new things. I don't know. It's fresh. So it still feels fresh.
So yeah. I've had so many conversations with you and other guildies and my husband just from mm-hmm. this email and
image
and news post. And it was like, it's been so crazy. Like, I think they're being cheeky with how they name the file or the image. And that's my prediction. And if I'm wrong, I'm okay with that.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
We like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast to their existence in a little spotlight we call the Toasts of Ascalon.
Was that you trying to toast?
Yes.
Okay. That was sad.
We're excited to announce that we've teamed up with Wild Bangarang to bring you fashionable, functional looks straight from Tyria, leggings, and dresses emblazoned with all over designs inspired by iconic Guild Wars 2 races, armor, and art are now available. So we talked about Wild Bangarang a couple of weeks ago and the announcement that they were going to be creating leggings and dresses. And we had a little preview image of that and it was pretty cool looking. And so now those items have been released. So we would like to offer up a toast to their creation.
To the capitalism that has created these.
More marketing, more money, more game.
When we first saw it, we thought they were tops uh-huh. and leggings, but it is actually dresses and leggings.
And Wild Bangarang is recognized internationally for their fun and creative geek and gamer clothing collections. So now you can unlock new fantasy looks for your in real life wardrobe this year. And it's kind of funny because it's in a way, it's like if cosplay were runway. No. If cosplay was, I have a metaphor here. So cosplay is sort of like runway looks. And these outfits are sort of like the, you know, ready to wear versions. Right. Like it's inspired. So like what we wear on a day-to-day basis is inspired by fashion on the runways, but been, you know, transformed into, you know, marketable, cheaper options for, you know, normal people. So I kind of view this in the same way. Like, there's cosplay that is, you know, very creative, very expensive, out of the reach of, you know, mere mortals sometimes. So this is a way that you can support the game and show off your, you know, it's kind of Easter eggy in a way. It's like, if I wore a pair of these leggings out in the world, which I wouldn't do because I don't wear leggings, but if I were to wear a piece of, if I were to wear these leggings out, it would be kind of cool if, you know, somebody stopped me and was like, is that Guild Wars 2? And I'd be like, yeah, it is. So
I have a few Guild Wars 2 t-shirts, and I'm always curious. I'm like, I wonder if anyone's going to like say, no. No one ever goes, I play that. No.
So we went through these before the show and kind of talked through some of our favorites. So my favorite dress is the Phoenix dress. I like the colors. I kind of like the way it's laid out. It's kind of cute. And Alona, you liked the Dynamics Exo leggings. Oh, you liked the Regal.
Oh,
the,
sorry.
What was it?
Sorry, I was trying to paste something, the link into chat, and pasted Glyph of Flight instead, because that's helpful.
You like the Casimir Regal leggings and the Air Stegalkin dress.
Yeah. Yeah, those were the two I liked the best. I really like the Dynamics Exo leggings from the side.
And then you turn them around in the front and it's... I don't know. It also depends on how you wear leggings. Like, a lot of people who wear leggings wear them with a tunic. So you'd kind of like have the front part covered and just the, like, the main part that people would be seeing would be the calf part. So if the really interesting detail is up at the hip, then I don't know. You're going to lose some of that.
And that's where the Casimir ones have some nice all around things. And the one that I think that we both had the most concerns, challenges, I don't know if that's quite the right term, but because that's extreme, but the Mad King dress. And it was partly, for me, it is because the Mad King outfit is very gendered. Like, it looks very, it makes even female characters look male. And this is a female form in a dress. So it has the most disconnect from what you see in game for me.
Yeah, it definitely felt like one of those things where somebody was just given some art assets and then they reinterpreted it without even really knowing what they were doing.
And Deo in chat is saying that they would like to see hoodie options or something like that. And I agree. Like, this is great if you like wearing leggings and dresses, but if you are not a fan of wearing leggings and dresses,
you're a little left out. And and there's another category on this site that I find hilarious and I love. They're called Woonics, as in WUNIC. So Woonics. And essentially the best way I can describe them is a hooded bathrobe with no sleeves. And
you want one.
Oh, I kind of do. I want a Woonic that's patterned. Wait.
I want
a Woonic that's patterned like a griffin. So I'm putting on my Woonic and like, I think
that is actually the name of the episode, by the way. I want a Woonic.
They
do not. They do not flip side.
They do not have butt capes. I apologize.
I kept wishing I could dye them. I think this is a really fun, it looked like a fun collaboration. One of the things that a practical thing I really appreciated about this Bangarang site in general is when you go and look at one of their items of clothing. So they'll specifically say what size of clothing the model is wearing. Our model is a size is a UK size 10 to 12 and wears our size medium. I've never seen that in a clothing store before. Maybe other clothing stores do that, and I've just never seen it. But I thought that was a really great... I read that, I'm like, oh, that would actually help me buy clothing.
Yeah. Very helpful.
Yeah. And now we're going to brag that people know me, or us, and our guild hall smells of rich mahogany, rich boat mahogany. Mm. It's our Boasts of Ascalon. We got another review. Woo! Humorous Heroines. 5 stars. IB Storage via Apple Podcasts USA. And this came through on July 19th. I've been a longtime listener. And even though I have not played the game that this podcast is about in 2 years, I still tune in to the podcast because of the entertainment value that these hosts produce. For even more entertainment, I would recommend going to their live chat of the podcast. It is always a fun experience. Aww. And I miss you, IB. I mean, I see you in chat, but I miss you in game.
Yeah.
I miss you in game.
Yeah.
I miss you seeing you in game too. So thank you so much for giving us a review. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. And we really do appreciate when people show up for chat. It just makes everything a lot more fun. And that is it. That is the show. To get in touch with us, you can contact me hashtag on Twitter at #thetag. That's #HASHTHETAG. Or sig.1735. That's SIGG in game. You can engage Alona at one big pear, as in the fruit, or in game at onebigpear.1249. And as mentioned at the top of the show, you message both of us at once at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon using your trusty tweeter machine. You can subscribe.
I've never... actually started calling it that at work, by the way.
No, I know. I can't not call it that now. Oh, my gosh. You can subscribe to Hosts of Ascalon on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher. Or you can hop over to our website, hostsofascalon.com, to either listen directly or nab the RSS to use with your preferred podcast app. Mm-hmm. And we live stream the store. What?
Where we talk about what size the model wears.
We are now marketing. No. We live stream the show at twitch.tv/hostsofascalon, usually every third Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, but we're taking a break over August because we are traveling and work and vacation and all that stuff. So our next live Twitch show will be September 4th, which works out great for us with the end of August event.
Huzzah!
We planned that. So good show, Alona. Thank you to our Twitch squad for coming out to the live show, to them and to everyone listening. May Melandru guide you to all the loot bags.
Oh, so not that it necessarily needs to be part of the tinfoil hat part of the announcement, but one of the other things I was wondering is, what if they announce a massive graphics upgrade?
New engine
or something. That's, yeah. I was wondering if that would be, and Cal, of course, went to Guild Wars 3. They're like, Guild Wars 3! I'm like, there's still too much story to tell for 2, I think.
I wonder, though, because, okay, so there was an AMA-ish kind of thing for the narration team on the official forums today, and they were talking about, you know, loose ends and story bits and bobs and stuff like that. And it was interesting how some of their answers were worded, and I would, here's my tinfoil, what if the announcement is that Season 5 is the last one before we leave for Guild Wars 3, because it kind of felt like they were saying, like, yeah, we've got a lot of loose ends. We've been looking at those recently, which to me says they've been considering, like, oh, we need to tie some of these things up so we can move on. So we're going to, my prediction, here's my prediction. We're going to,
and we're still recording, so you can plop this in.
So this has just come to me. I think we're going to end season five with Jory and Casimir's wedding.
I'd go. And, oh, Guild Wars 2 or 1 ended with Gwen and oh, now I can't remember her Thackeray's name. Gwen and Mr. Thackeray.
Oh my gosh.
So it kind of ended with a wedding, but it was Guild Wars Beyond, so it was past all the story arcs, and they were basically doing prototyping of the living world in Guild Wars 1.
Yeah,
okay. So they had the White Mantle and the Shining Blade, and that was one story arc that they did, and there was one other one, and then there was the wedding.
Kieran,
thank you, Flipside.
Okay, so
that would be interesting, hashtag.
Right? I feel like there's going to be some sort of, I don't know, world event, but somehow them coming back together and working out all their differences and ending in a marriage, like, heals the world, and then suddenly we shoot forward into time for Guild Wars 3, and we have their descendants.
You know, I honestly don't think this is the case, but I would be totally okay if it was.
The ghost of Gwen can be the wedding planner.
God, I don't know. She's too cranky to be a wedding planner. she was not a happy person. No. She's a happy little girl, not a happy adult.
I don't know. My memories of Gwen are tainted by her blocking me
behind a rock when she was a child.
Yes. You shall not pass. Literally.
That was a special time in our lives. So, yeah, I don't know. I still feel like there's just far too much with two. And if you think about it, they canceled. So there was Prophecies, Factions, Nightfall, and then there was going to be Guild Wars Utopia.
Yeah.
And they canceled that and then announced Guild Wars 2 and then also released Eye of the North as the bridge. But then there was like 5 years between there. So,
well, I don't think we're going to get a 5-year bridge.
Love creates the dragon of love and heals Tyria. why are you bringing Ion in?
Oh,
this?
Yeah. So, see, I think I should get credit. I'm just going to call. I'm going to call credit if there's any sort of like
hint,
Jory Kaz wedding, or like
I would love that,
like in the next season.
I would totally. Although we need to find out what's happening with them, because they've kind of been rocky for the last little bit.
Exactly,
they've been up in the air.
They have been. So I feel like this is like their time to come back and make amends and you know, like somehow their union is what heals the universe.
Yeah, but so like we were saying, like I don't know if necessarily this. If the living world stuff is enough to fill 45 minutes, and it very well could be, we don't know what they have planned. But that's why I was like, okay, if it's not Guild Wars 3, what could it be? And that's where I was thinking on the like a graphics update. And who is it? Blah, blah, blah. Someone in the chat was saying they'd have to get a new graphics card. Was it Flipside? I can't remember.
I mean,
it's up. But at the same time, Guild Wars 2, I think part of the reason it's been so graphics intensive is because they're trying to fit a lot of stuff in DirectX 9.
It's not efficient. Like it's not built the best way it could be.
So if you move it into, if you update and go through a graphics refresh and upgrade, you could actually look at graphics card savings.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, and I just want, oh man.
Steve McBubbles, Esquire, is the love dragon. Yeah. I'm very excited for this. I'm glad they announced it. I'm all about the hype.
I like it. I like going back to hype days. I mean, remember Heart of Thorns where they were like beating on those tubes, you know, and all the excitement leading into that was that Colin at that point? Who was doing the announcements? Yeah.
No, Heart of Thorns was, well, I think Colin was on stage for part of it, but it was Mo for like kind of the rapper, because it felt, do you remember, it felt so much like an Apple event.
I thought it was Colin. Yeah. Okay. So Colin and Mo. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. It felt like that. And this could be like that too. I could totally,
I think it is.
I could totally see it like being
oh my God. Okay.
So what if the what whole if? Like 43 minutes of the event. First off, I'm going to cut that. 25 minutes of the event is like McLean Deemer playing like crazy music and fun times. And then we're going to cut into dun, 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 the release of the next Living Season. We're going to get like this very dramatic teaser. We're going to get like,
I think we're going to get one more thing.
Like
that.
And then like with 1 minute to spare, Mo's going to walk on stage in a black turtleneck and be like, and one more thing. And the only thing that's going to happen on the screen is going to be completely black, white text right in the middle, and it will just say Guild Wars 3. And that's it. Black. Done. No explanation. No timeline. No nothing. That's it.
and is available tonight.
Actually, I do think they might do that. Deo, I think they, if it is just Living World, they might, that might be the big thing. Like, you're at PAX West and you think you're here to go hobnob, but guess what? Instead, you're going to go back to your hotel room and play games, as you should.
This love dragon thing is catching on, I think.